I'm sure our listeners have all noticed, but it's winter, and winter sometimes has an effect on people's interest in socializing. Did you know that there's science that's studying this? Well, there is. Joining us now, we have Dr. Adam Fay, Assistant Professor of the Department of Psychology at State University of New York at Oswego. He's here to talk to us about how cooler temperatures can affect our desire for social contact and some interesting things that can be done about that. Welcome, Dr. Fay.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you have been getting quite the press about this.
Apparently, that's what I've been hearing.
Thank you for making the time for us, the little radio station here on the North Shore. First of all, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your work at SUNY?
Sure. I'm a research psychologist, and I'm a social psychologist by training. So my interests are in typical human behavior, typical aspects of human social life. And so I teach courses in social psychology and research methods and things like that. And my research here, as you sort of described, deals largely with how people pursue and maintain a sense of social connection with other people, and the kinds of ways that feeling a lack of that important type of connection can affect our psychology in interesting ways.
So how did you find yourself studying the effects of temperature?
Well, my collaborator John Maynor at Florida State University and I had been reading and tracking the research for a couple of years, and there have been lots of interesting findings showing that when people experience warm temperatures, it shapes all kinds of things psychologically and behaviorally, like leading to judging other people as being more friendly or having more positive evaluations of products and things like this. And one of the things that had been happening in the literature was there was some research suggesting that people might actually be seeking out warm temperatures when they were feeling particularly lonely or disconnected from other people. And although we didn't test that directly, we were interested in whether or not that might actually work. Like, if you perceive a warm temperature when you're feeling lonely, does it actually satisfy or reduce some of those lonely feelings and make you feel more connected with other people? So that was sort of what we were trying to do with this study, is test the effect of experiencing a warm temperature under different sorts of conditions, to examine whether feeling a tactile experience of warmth actually could in a way stand in for actual social contact.
Huh. Now, you know, for those of us who are lay people, you know, and read headlines in the newspapers about a study shows this or a study shows that, mm-hmm. we often don't really know how did someone go around actually doing the research. So can you tell us kind of step by step what you did to set up this research project and to test your theories?
Yeah, sure. So one of the interesting things that we did that was a little bit different from a lot of the studies in the literature was actually just roam around campus and test people outside. Most of the studies in my field are done in very tightly controlled laboratory experiments, where you bring participants into your research lab and you can really tightly control all aspects of the environment and things like that. But we took a little bit more of a naturalistic approach with our experiment and tested people outside so we could test some of the variability, the natural variability in ambient temperature. So we tested people across the year. So some people did the study on warmer days, and some people did it on colder days. And that was because a lot of previous research has shown that when people are feeling colder, like you mentioned, we sometimes feel a little bit more lonely. We want more connection with other people. And there's a little bit less of those feelings under warmer conditions. And so what we did was assign people to one of two conditions, randomly assign them to either wear a heated back wrap. It was just one of these things that are marketed for like muscle pain or back pain or something like this.
Uh-huh.
And you wrap it around your back and it's warm and it you know, is heated up already when we give it to them. And we looked at what happened when people were wearing that back wrap compared to when we had them wear a different kind of back wrap that was not heated. And we asked people to fill out some questionnaires while they were wearing their back wrap. And so we measured how interested people were in social contact, like how likely they thought they would be to make plans with other people over the next week, to spend more time with others, go to social events, parties, and things like that. And so we were able to test whether any of that stuff varies with ambient temperature. Do people actually want more contact on colder days than on warmer days? And the sort of new part of our study was to test whether the heat pad changed any of those associations.
So really two things you were studying then. One was the effect of the ambient temperature.
Yeah.
And then secondly, whether that intervention of the warm versus non-warm backpack.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly right. And that's one of the new things in the literature, is that trying to isolate those two sources of temperature, because they both affect how warm or cold we feel, but there might be an important theoretical difference between whether it's ambient or whether it's a very localized physical touch kind of sensation of warmth versus coldness.
Huh. And now, I am curious, you have a colleague in Florida, you work in New York.
That's right, yep.
Where did you do this work?
Oh, this was done in New York. This was done at my university in upstate New York. So it is, yes, much colder here than in Florida, for sure.
Okay. And so what was the temperature range that you were working with in terms of the ambient temperature?
We had a pretty good range. I think the average temperature was around 63 degrees Fahrenheit, and it ranged, if I'm remembering correctly, from around the low 50s up into the 80s. So we tested people across, not the entire year, because it does get extremely cold here in the winter months, but we tested people from April through November to get that wide range of temperature.
All right. So tell us, what did you find?
Yeah, so we did find that both forms of temperature played an important role. And so if we look just at people in the unheated wrap condition, we found the typical association that previous work had found, where on relatively cooler days, people expressed a stronger desire for connecting with other people than on warmer days. The interesting thing was that when we had people in the heat pad condition, when they had the heated back wrap on, it completely eliminated that association. And mainly that happened by reducing people's desires for connecting on the colder days. So it was almost as if they had a chance to interact with somebody, and it reduced any additional need, at least in that immediate term, for seeking out additional forms of social connection. Sort of an analog would be if you feel extremely hungry, but then you have something to eat, that the desire to seek out additional food is temporarily satisfied. And so what was the neat aspect of this to us was that when people experienced a warm heat pad, it did sort of the same thing psychologically that we would expect having a conversation with a friend or some other form of social contact to have, really in the absence of social contact.
Wow. We really have to ask ourselves whether that's good or bad, don't we?
Yeah, if it became, yeah, an excuse to not associate with your friends and all that. But yeah, but there are lots of open questions, you know, about how long that effect might persist and things like that. But it was certainly an interesting finding for us to see that a non-social experience might sometimes stand in for a social experience.
Right. What do you think about practical applications of that? Or is it still too early?
It's pretty early for us, and yeah, we didn't, you know, design this study with any particular practical application in mind, but I think it, for our purposes, it sort of sheds light on the very subtle ways in which our thinking about the social world and our social relationships are affected in really important ways by things that we don't intuitively think affect us. That there might be a lot of very subtle experiences that we have throughout the day that are shaping how we think about other people, but we might not be consciously making those connections. If you think about like holding a warm cup of coffee in the morning and then you get in your car with the heated seats and so on and so forth, we have lots of subtle temperature experiences that could be doing interesting things psychologically.
What's next for you on your research related to this?
Yeah, one of the things that is that I alluded to just a minute ago, I'm interested in the time sequence of some of these effects. So how long does the effect of feeling a warm heat pad persist? Because typically in these studies, we measure whatever it is we're measuring pretty soon after we have people put on the heat pad. And so it's an open question whether any psychological effects continue half an hour later or a day later or whatever it is. So I think that's an important piece that still needs to be sorted out. There are lots of open questions still about the extent to which changes in your actual body temperature are implicated in these processes. So do you need to experience a change in peripheral or core body temperature, or is it just about the feeling of warmth on your skin might be sufficient. So we're trying to examine some of these so we can answer some of the open questions in the literature about how and why these connections between warmth and social affiliation exist.
Any plans to look at even colder temperatures, like here in Grand Marais, where we're expecting minus 10 to 14 tonight?
Wow. Yeah.
Hard to get people who are walking outside to stop and talk to you.
Yeah, that's one of the practical limitations of our project, is that I think we tried to recruit people under some colder conditions, but, you know, people are always in a hurry to get indoors, and so it doesn't work out so well.
Huh. Cool. And you know, I know that I can't stop this interview without asking a critical question to many of our listeners, is whether you think having a cat on their lap will count as tactile warmth.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that's a really good question, honestly, because a lot of the thinking in the literature sort of connects this stuff back to that kind of social connection with other living beings, particularly other humans, like holding a romantic partner or your offspring, you know, holding a kid in your lap where you feel the warmth of somebody else's body heat at the same time that you're having the psychological experience of social closeness with that person. And so there really is a physiological thing and a psychological thing happening at the same time. And so the cat on your lap, I think, absolutely is a way that makes us feel warm from the cat's body heat, but also might feel more socially connected.
Fascinating. We have been speaking with Dr. Adam Fay, assistant professor in the Department of Psychology at State University of New York in Oswego. He has been sharing with us information about his recent publications concerning the effects of ambient temperature on desire for social activity and how tactile warmth can affect that desire. Adam, is there anything else you'd like to share with us this evening?
No, I'm just so happy that you all are interested in hearing about it, because there really are so many subtle influences on our behavior that sometimes we study in the lab and nobody else gets to hear about it. But I'm happy that you brought me on and gave me a chance to talk about this stuff.
Oh, it's fascinating, and we thank you so much for making the time to be with us on a Friday evening.
Yep, thank you.
All right, bye now.